All right, we're going to open our Bibles to John chapter 9. Now, my wife told me to announce that for our Christmas tours, we are actually doing a homemade hot chocolate and homemade ice cream if you come to our house. Amen. So get signed up for the Christmas tours. It supports our seniors and helping them get some money for their senior class trip. And, of course, if you don't sign up, that's good. I don't have to make homemade hot chocolate and homemade ice cream, but that's good. I want to share a message entitled, I Was Blind, Now I See. We're doing a series on Sunday mornings entitled Great Statements of Faith. And I believe it's a great statement of faith that we have in John chapter 9. And we're going to read the whole chapter beginning in verse 1. And Jesus passed by and saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? And some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? And he answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. I went and washed and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? And he said, I know not. And they brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And he said unto them, He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? And he said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him, that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked him, saying, Is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? And his parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. For he is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, He is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. And he answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, but now I see. Then said they to him again, What did he to thee, and how he opened thine eyes? And he answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses, as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, Why herein is a marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes? We know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing? They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. And Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe in the Son of God? And he answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, you should have no sin. But now ye say, We see, therefore your sins remaineth. What a powerful, powerful passage of Scripture. Let's pray. God, we're so thankful to be here this morning. We're thankful for the Word of God and for the words of Christ. We're thankful, Lord, for the Holy Spirit of God who speaks to us and reveals to us the living Word, brings conviction on us in the areas that need to be made right with Thee. I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that's not saved, Lord, their eyes are blinded by sin, their eyes are blinded by this world. God, they need to be delivered. They need their eyes open. I pray that they might come and receive Christ as their Savior. Believe unto the saving of their soul. I pray, Lord, that there are believers that are here that have allowed the distractions of this world, the glitter and the corruption and the sinfulness of this world to blind their eyes, lest the glorious gospel of Christ will continue to shine in their hearts and the will and the way and the work of God to be accomplished in each of them. And so I pray, Lord, that you would open our eyes that we might be able to see. And God, I pray that through the preaching of the Word of God this morning that Jesus will be glorified and we might be able to learn this great statement of faith that this blind man stated. I was blind, now I see. Oh, God, speak to us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text verse is verse 25. He says here, he answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. What a great statement of faith. There has been much controversy over Jesus Christ to this point in John chapter 9. We know in John chapter 8, there's a great controversy in the temple concerning who Christ is. The Jews had always boasted about the fact that they had Abraham as their father. But in chapter 8, in verse 56 and through 58, Jesus makes two great statements in reference to Abraham that stirs the Jews up in being angry with him and aggressive towards him. In John chapter 8 and verse 56, he says, Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. The response of the Pharisees is in verse 57. They said, Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? The boast of the Jew was their heritage they had through the patriarchs of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they were always boasting in the fact that, wait a minute, they were the children of God because they were chosen through the loins of Abraham. And now they are confronting Jesus Christ with that special, unique relationship that they have. And of course, they're not rejoicing in Christ. And Jesus is rebuking them. And wait a minute, you identify with Abraham as your father. Listen, he rejoiced in the day that he saw me. He was happy when he saw him there. He said, wait a minute, you're not even 50 years old. How could you, our father Abraham, has seen you? In verse 58, Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And literally, then they took up stones and cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. And so in the midst of all this controversy, in the midst of this really confrontation where he is making them face the reality that he is the Christ, he's the Messiah, he's the Son of God, because before Abraham was ever in existence, Jesus Christ was. He said, before Abraham was, I am. And so he departs from them because they're ready to stone him for his statement. And as he departs, he's traveling by the way, and he passes by this man who is blind. This man who has been blind all of his life. Since birth, he's been blind. He has this great affliction upon him. And God is going to be revealed through dealing with the affliction of this blind man. Robert Murray McShay, old preacher of years gone by, said this: affliction brings out graces that cannot be seen in a time of health. It is the treading of the grapes that brings out the sweet juices of the vine. So it is affliction that draws forth submission, weans us from the world, and complete rest in God. Use afflictions while you have them. And literally, this man is going to experience the grace of God to deliver his bondage to blindness. And the grace of God's going to set him free, and he's going to experience something in his life that others did not experience. Oftentimes we look at the trials and the afflictions that we have in our life, and we condemn them. We're overwhelmed by them. We literally want to live apart from any difficulties or afflictions. But yet it's in the times of afflictions where God reveals his grace to us in such a magnificent way. And God's grace is going to work in this man's life who declared, I was blind and now I see. And notice, first of all, there's instruction that takes place here. We're kind of going to go through this chapter and highlight some thoughts about how Jesus related to this blind man, the instructing that he gives to him. Notice the instructing is based on their misunderstanding. In verse 2, the disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now here's a man who's been blind since the time he was born. The automatic assumption of the disciples was very simple. They assumed that he had sinned in his life, and so this blindness was evidence of God's judgment on him. Or his parents had sinned, and so their son being born blind was evidence of God's judgment on them, the misunderstanding of the condition of this blind man. And oftentimes what we do is we see somebody in their affliction, and it is very easy to develop the assumption that the affliction and trial they're going through is because there must be some kind of sin in their life. But the reality is, every heartache and every trial and every difficulty and every suffering that we go through is not a result of sin that is in our life. First of all, we're all born sinners, for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. We're all, listen, have to suffer because of the effects of this sin of Adam and Eve on the world, because when they sinned, they were cast out of the garden, and the consequences of their sin passed on all of us, because once they sinned before God, they had to taste death, and certainly we all must face death, the reality of death, apart from the return of Jesus Christ. But that is all the product of Adam and Eve's sin in the garden. But this man's blindness was not for the purpose of revealing sin that was in his life. Jesus said this man didn't sin. His parents did not sin that he would have this affliction on him. So I would be careful about identifying someone's problems and the afflictions they're going through and so boldly state, well, that's because they're in sin, because you really don't know whether it's because of sin or not. But certainly if a man is overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual are supposed to reach out and restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And so we are not the ones that are set up as the judge, but rather we are to reveal the power of God that can move on anyone's life and on anyone's behalf to overcome the afflictions that they may be going through. So the instruction that Jesus gives, first of all, is to correct their misunderstanding. Secondly, we see in verse 3 through 5, he was redirecting their thought process on what they should be focused on. In verse 3, it says, Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned nor his parents. And here it is. But that the works of God should be made manifest in him, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh, when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So he's redirecting their thoughts in reference to what they should be focusing on in this man's life. God was going to do a mighty work, a miraculous thing in the life of this man who was born blind. But the disciples were so focused on the fact of wanting to know who sinned, Jesus is basically rebuking them, redirecting their thought patterns. It's not about whether this man sinned or his parents sinned. It is about what is it that God can do on his behalf. And I think many times we forget that, wait a minute, God wants to do something mighty in our lives, and we need to allow him to redirect our thought process so that we might be able to experience what it is that God wants to do. I'm thankful that God made a magnificent change in my life when I trusted Christ as my Savior. You know, back in 1979, I was under conviction from hearing the preaching of the Word of God in the middle of the night, got up and knelt alongside of my bed, and I said, God, I don't know if I'm going to heaven when I die, and I certainly don't want to go to hell. God, will you save me? Will you forgive me? And God saved me at that very moment, and he began to do a work in my life. I just know this, that we have to get the question right so that we might be able to find the right answer. And they wanted to know, who sinned? He said, they didn't sin, but God's going to be glorified through his life. I'm going to do something miraculous on his behalf. And so he redirects their thought process to what is the mighty work that God wants to do. My question to you this morning, what is the mighty work that God wants to do in your life? You might be here this morning, you might not be saved. I know a mighty work God wants to do. He wants to deliver you and give you everlasting life. You might be here this morning and you are saved. I want you to know, in spite of your inefficiencies and difficulties in life, that God can redirect your life and do a mighty work on your behalf. And so the instruction here is in reference to their misunderstanding and redirecting their thoughts. Notice there was obeying that took place. In verse 5 through 7, it says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And here it is, verse 6. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and he made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, go wash in the pool Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. May I say this? If this man had not gone and washed his eyes, he would not have received his sight. If he had not followed the instruction of Jesus Christ, he would have never been delivered from his infliction of blindness on his life. Listen, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. God has given very clear, specific instruction on how we are to be saved and how we're to be right with him. And it requires of us to respond to what God has said, not to assume that we can approach God the way we desire to do that. I'm thankful that this man just obeyed what Jesus said. He said, go wash. He went down to, his testimony was, he said, go wash. I went and washed and I came seeing. And so the instruction of God is fulfilled by this man obeying. So there's the instructing that goes on. Notice how, as a result of this, in verse 8 through 21, there's the questioning. You know, whenever God does something, I've just noticed this over the years, whenever God does something miraculous, there's always somebody comes along and questions it. You know, it's hard for people just to accept that, wait a minute, God can do miraculous things in people's lives. In verse 8, it says, the neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? And some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. I just wonder, I thought when I was preaching in the early service, I just wonder how much he looked like everybody else for them to be able to say, well, he's like him. You understand, he was a beggar. He didn't have glorious clothes to wear. Listen, this man sat there. I'm sure that he did not have the food that be able to eat as others ate. Certainly his countenance was not as fresh and as uplifting as everybody else's countenance was. But they just cannot accept what God has done in this man's life. And they say, well, that's not him. He's like that guy was. And so he speaks up and he says, I am he. Therefore they said unto him, how were thine eyes opened? And he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and received my sight. Then they said unto him, where is he? And he said, I don't know. Notice there, the questioning is in reference to disbelief. Verse 13, they brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. So it wasn't enough for them to question him. They bring him to the Pharisees. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. And then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And he said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. I mean, they asked him the same question over and over and over again. The last couple of days, I've read through this passage, this chapter, probably three times, just reading it and rereading it. And whenever I preach through a passage, I always read it and reread it and reread it and ask the Lord to speak to my heart before I preach out of it. And it just caught my attention how many times he has asked the same question. How did you get your sight? Matter of fact, who did this? We want to know who did this. Over and over again, there is the questioning because of the disbelief that this took place in his life. I remember my wife and I got saved. I mean, we got saved. We got a good dose of it. Amen. And we didn't get saved like a lot of people get saved. They get saved, then they never go to church. They get saved, they never get baptized. And they get saved, they don't ever do anything for God. I mean, when we got saved, we got a good dose. I mean, God did some great things in our life. I was an alcoholic, and God delivered me from all that foolishness. And I'll tell you what, God miraculously changed my life, and friends of ours couldn't believe it. Mike, you can't tell me you don't drink anymore. What are you talking about? You got to go out and drink. No, I don't drink anymore. God delivered me from it. What do you mean God delivered you from that? Man, what, you got religion now? I mean, they're just all this stuff. You know the same thing that you heard when you got saved. There's nothing new under the sun. They disbelieved that God could do such a miraculous thing in a person's life. And may I say, God can and will do miraculous things in your life if you'll just believe him. Allow him to open your eyes. So the questioning revolved around disbelief. The questioning revolved around disdain. In verse 16, therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man's not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath. Notice they're more concerned about their religion than they are having a relationship with the living God. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. May I say, there is always a division among those about Jesus Christ. He always brings a division. Either he's the Son of God or he's not. Either he can heal or he won't heal. Either he can save or he won't save. I'm just telling you this, there is a disdain in the questioning in reference to who Christ is. Oh man, we had people telling us, oh, you know what? What are you in some cult? Man, they used to do that. Back then, there was Jim Jones and all those people who followed him, and they committed mass suicide together, and all this foolishness was going on. Jim Jones was a Baptist preacher, and he became a false prophet and led people astray, brought them to a point of committing suicide. There's people that were so angry with us. What do you mean you don't go to your church anymore? You're going to that church over there in Pennsville. You're going over there. What? That's a cult, and you're all wrapped up in that. What are you, Jim Jones? You're going to be drinking cool. I mean, they had such a disdain for us. And our life changed, and we didn't go dancing anymore, and we didn't go drinking anymore, we didn't party anymore. And I mean, people were mad at us. Family members yelling and hollering at us, sending us nasty letters because we tried to share our faith in Christ with them. I'm telling you, there's always a division over Christ. When you stand for God, you stand for Christ. There are those who will question you with a spirit of disdain. This man's been blind all of his life, and now he can see, and all they can focus on, who did this to you? Who delivered you? Who gave you this sight? That man's a sinner. He's not of God. He violated a Sabbath day. I mean, they have every accusation to bring. Why? Because the questioning is full of disdain. But the man still sees. Notice the questioning was because they were dumbfounded. In verse 17, and they say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? And he said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind. I mean, here they are. They are dumbfounded with the fact that he can see. They're even denying the reality that he had been blind. And so he goes on there and says that he had been blind and received his sight until they called his parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. And who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age. Ask him, and he shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. And oh, what a horrible situation to be in, to be faced with those who are dumbfounded by a miraculous miracle that God has done, that they get so aggressive that they question even the parents of this man, accusing them of lying, that he was not blind from birth. And they said, ask him. You know, it's interesting to me that over the years I've watched this, that when questioning comes, God does a miracle in somebody's life. God does something miraculous. And then everybody talks about it in the background. Well, do you think he read that? No, I don't think he did that. I think he just made that up. They're dumbfounded because they don't live in the reality of being totally dependent upon God. I'm going to tell you, my wife and I have seen miraculous things take place in the last 30-some years. I've seen God pay bills that I had no money for. I've seen God put gas in my car. I've seen God put groceries on my doorstep. And I'm telling you right now, my wife and I have never been ones that we run around to people, be sure to pray for this for us because we really have this need. Okay, you tell enough people and then everybody knows you have a need and now you're going to get them to meet your need for you. Why not just talk to God about it? There's nothing wrong with sharing prayer requests, but I'm telling you, sometimes you ought to just get alone with God and share something with God that you need that has to be a miraculous move of God so that when it takes place, there's only one person who can get the glory, and that's God Almighty. But I'm telling you, people are dumbfounded about it. I've watched over the years, I start telling somebody about the miraculous things that God has done in my life, and you see all of a sudden this countenance, blank stare. Like, you can see it, you can read it. It's posted right across their forehead in bold letters. This is ridiculous. That's unhappened. He's making this up. No way that happened in that way. I'm going to tell you right now, this man brought people to a place of being dumbfounded because what took place in his life, only one person could have done it, and that was God Almighty. And realize this, when you believe God for miracles, God can still work miracles in 2016. That God can do something miraculous in your life that will confound the wise. It will bring them to a point where they cannot speak because they cannot give an answer to what was happening in your life or took place in your life. All they can do is question and question and question. If you're doubting that God did something miraculous in somebody's life, why don't you go talk to them? Here they are drilling these parents of this man that was healed. Why didn't you just go to him? They already asked him and it wasn't enough, so they go running around, talk behind his back about it. Wait a minute, they were dumbfounded. So the instruction that is given, the questioning that is experienced, verse 22 through 34 is the testifying about God. and what God did. In verse 23, therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Notice that problem was between a relationship and a religion. There is a difference between a relationship and a religion. I was raised in a religion all my life. And it may say it was a Baptist church. And they never told me how to be saved. They never shared with me the gospel of Jesus Christ. They told me of great stories in the Bible that I knew about, but they did not connect the dots to show me that, wait a minute, I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. And as a result of it, I didn't get saved until I was 27 years old. And I'm going to tell you, at 27 years old, I found out what a relationship with God is compared to a religion that you hold to. There is a difference. And these people were so focused on the fact that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, they were so focused on holding to their religion that they completely missed the reality that this man had a personal encounter with the living God. And because of that, he received his sight, the testifying that there is a difference between a religion and a relationship. Notice there's a difference between faith and foolishness. In verse 25, of course, he said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. Verse 26, then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? And he answered them, I've told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. And I thought of this. They boasted in Abraham, and now they're boasting in Moses as being someone that God spoke to. My question to you then is this. I feel like, can I jump? Lord, would you let me just jump in the page? And right there, just confront these Pharisees right now. You said that Moses was a man that spoke what God spoke to him, that he was a man of God. My question is, why did you talk about him? Why did you murmur against him? Why did you rebel against his leadership? To literally where you'd have to wander for 40 years in the wilderness. You know, don't stand up and boast about something that you didn't hold to. You were foolish in your response to Abraham. You were foolish in your response to Moses. And now you're being foolish in your response to the fulfillment of prophecy of the Messiah standing in front of you. Rather than having faith to believe to the saving of your soul. The testifying, religion or relationship, faith or foolishness, acceptance or denial. In verse 30, the man answered and said unto them, why? Herein is a marvelous thing that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened my eyes. He's saying, how can you say this isn't of God when this miraculous thing has taken place? And now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if a man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Acceptance or denial. That's what it comes down to. Are you willing to accept who God is and what he can do? Or are you going to deny and reject what God desires to do and accomplish in your life? Acceptance or denial. This blind man just accepted Jesus. Met him. You understand that this man was blind. He did not see Jesus. All he heard was the words of Christ. And Jesus came up and made the spittle and put it on his eyes. And he still hasn't seen Jesus and told him to go and wash. And he just did it by faith. He accepted what God had told him to do, what Christ had instructed him to do. He just accepted that and washed his eyes and he came back seeing. But Jesus wasn't there yet. He hasn't even seen Jesus Christ yet. Acceptance or denial. He's testifying, oh, wait a minute, a miraculous thing has taken place. And our prophecies, our word tells us if that takes place, that man is of God. Because if he wasn't of God, he could do nothing. So there's the testifying. Well, verse 35 through 38 is the believing. And may I say this, that any miracle that God reveals for us in the scripture is always for the purpose of bringing the people to believe in who God is, that we might be saved and delivered. Notice the question in verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he found him, he said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" And he answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" You say, how could he not know that? He's never seen Christ. Jesus is just questioning, will you believe on the Son of God? He said, "Lord, I'd love to. I don't even know who he is. Who is it so I can believe on him?" Notice not just the question, but the person in verse 37. And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." I don't know about you. If I was that blind man and I'm talking to Jesus and I don't know it's Jesus and I know a miracle has been done and I don't know who it is that's done it to me, and he says, "He that you see is the one that has done this to you," I would have fallen on my face and worshiped him. That God would be that interested in me, such a sinner. And so here's the person, there's the salvation in verse 38. And he said, "Lord," notice it, Lord, he was his master. He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. The interesting thing is to me that many, many people today claim to get saved. They claim to trust Christ as their Savior, but you can't get them in church. There's something wrong with that. You find every person in the scriptures, when they came to Christ and they believed on the Lord, they worshiped him. It is an automatic response that when you trust Christ as your Savior, God works a miracle and he delivers your soul from hell. The automatic response is to give praise and adoration to the one who has set you free and delivered you. Why? Because I was blind, but now I see. And because of that, there was a joy and excitement and a thrill, not just to be able to see with his physical eyes, but when he believed, he could see with spiritual eyes the eternal Son of God. A.B. Simpson said this, "Begin to rejoice in the Lord and your bones will flourish like a herb, and your cheeks will glow with the bloom of health and freshness. Worry, fear, distrust, care all are poisonous. Joy is balm and healing, and if you will but rejoice, God will give power." Now, the Pharisees in this story and the rest of the Jews in this story could not rejoice over what God had just done in the life of this man. They questioned everything that was taking place. They were distraught with the fact that a miracle had been performed. They were not concerned about this man's condition as much as they were concerned about their religion. And as a result of it, they missed the whole point of what took place. Jesus was showing that he was the God from heaven who came into this world to save sinners who need to be delivered from the bondage of their sins. He can take the blind and give them sight. He can take the lame and give them strength to walk. He can take the deaf and give them hearing. He is a God who can not only bring physical healing, but he is the God who can give spiritual healing and new life through faith in him. And I'll tell you, people, God ought to rejoice in all that God is. Why? Because I was blind and now I see. For 27 years, I groped in darkness. But hallelujah, since 1979, my eyes have been opened and I see the Lord Jesus Christ and my Savior working every day in my life and enabling me to experience great miracles. Great statements of faith. Are you blind this morning? Are you unsaved this morning? If you were to die right now, do you know 100% sure you'd go to heaven? Are you embracing and holding on to religion rather than coming to a place of being saved? I witnessed to someone this week, and they wouldn't get saved, and they basically told me, they said, well, I'm a good person. I do a lot of good things, and there really isn't a lot of things that I do in my life that's contrary to what the Bible says a Christian's supposed to be. And I told them, I said, your problem is this. You're embracing your works. When Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I said, and the problem is, until you let go of your works and enter into the realm of faith, there'll be no deliverance. There'll be no setting you free. Your eyes won't be illuminated and open to the spiritual things that God has for you. I'm thankful this morning that God gives sight to the blinded. And if you're here this morning, you can't see, or you're not sure about salvation, you're not sure about who God is, I want you to know he can speak to your heart and open your eyes. He can save your soul. But Christians, let's not be like the Pharisees, amen? Let's not be like the crowd. When God does something miraculous in somebody's heart, let's believe it, not question it. God can save drug addicts. God can save alcoholics. You know, the reality is, and I said this in Sunday school, there's people around the world that are desiring and have everything structured in their life to do us harm because we're Christians. But you understand God can save their soul too. And we need to start seeing what God sees and start believing what God can do and allow the mighty hand of God in heaven to move on our behalf. And as a mighty miracle, flood this world with a move of a conviction of the Holy Spirit that brings an illuminating mind and eyes that can see that, wait a minute, this is a spiritual battle and we're on the winning side. Amen. So I just don't see that. Well, he was blind. Now he sees. You don't have to be blind, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. May that be your testimony. I was blind, but now I see. Let's pray. My Father, I thank you for grace. Lord, we would not have anything to speak of if it wasn't for your grace to deliver our soul. God, I'm thankful for this man who simply just responded in faith, believing, Lord, that Jesus was the Messiah. He had physical healing that led him to the path of spiritual healing that delivered him for all eternity. I pray, Lord, if there's somebody here this morning who's not saved, touch them, Lord, that they might come. We'll be able to take the Bible and show them how to believe on Christ. I pray for every believer this morning. God, I believe there's miraculous things you want to do in us and through us and for us. Oh, God, may we have eyes to see the things that God can do. And God, unleash thy mighty Holy Spirit in us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's